verses 1 through 3 in the message this morning. Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 1 and going down through verse 3. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them 2 by 2 ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God.
Well, have you seen, there's going to be a name that's going to come up on the screen. Have you seen that name? I've seen it in a lot of different places. It says, "I was today years old when." And then it begins to name something that you have never realized. And when you do realize it, you feel kind of silly when you realize that has been that way the whole time. And like the other day, I saw something and I went, "Oh, I should have known that. I have a college degree." it happened to me, although some of this, but it also happened to me on the passage of scripture that we're going to look at this morning. Honestly, just a few weeks ago, while talking about this phrase that appears here in Luke, and it also appears a few other times, at least in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, and then in Luke chapter 10, verse 2, and John chapter 4, verse 35. In two of those instances, something happens that somehow has escaped my attention. Now, I am a little bent at times, but I'm not sure how this fact escaped my attention. The situation in these three instances is kind of amazing. In Matthew, Jesus sees the crowd, and he has compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. And he gathers the 12 disciples together too, and he says there in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." And then in chapter 10, verse 1, he calls the disciples together, right after he has said this, he calls the disciples together, and he gives them authority to over the demons, he gives them authority to heal. And then in Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, it says the 12 Jesus sent out. You go to John chapter 4. Jesus has been having this conversation with the Samaritan woman there at the well, and she leaves to go back into the town, which the disciples had just gone into, to bring food back. And when they get back, they discover that Jesus is not hungry, and they are miffed about that. You know? And so here Jesus is talking to them, and he says to them at this point in time, he says, you have a saying that says in 4 months there'll be a harvest. But he says, look. But here in Luke chapter 9 and 10, we see Jesus, he's going about doing a lot of things in which the people are marveling at what he's saying and marveling at what he's doing. Now, chapters 9 and 10 are interesting because they both begin in the same way. In Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 5, there Jesus sends out the 12. In Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 17, Jesus sends out the 72. Now, and if you've got your Bible open there to chapter 9, hold on, we're going to look up quickly, but look at what I'm telling you, Luke chapter 9 is a very busy chapter. Jesus sends out the 12, there the first part, then he feeds the 5,000. And then he comes down and he asks the disciples who the people think he is. And Peter says, "God's Messiah." Well, right after Peter says that he's God's Messiah, Jesus tells them something that they can't believe, that they can't understand. It's the first prediction that he's going to die. 8 days later, still in the same chapter, 8 days later, after the first prediction, Peter and James and John, they go on the Mount of Transfiguration. They see Jesus there with Moses and Elijah. Peter looks at it, and he is absolutely amazed at what it says, and he says, "Lord, it's good for us to be here."
Let's build three shelters or three tabernacles, whatever you want to use there. Let's do it because it's really good to be here. And Jesus says, we've got to go down the mountain. We go down the mountain. And the remainder of the disciples that had been there had been trying to cast out a demon from a boy and couldn't do it. Then you come on down for the second time. Jesus tells them that he is going to die. And in verse 45, it says that they did not understand. They did not grasp it. And then they get into an argument. Then they get into an argument at that point in time, trying to determine who's going to be the greatest among them. And so what he does then is he sends the disciples into a Samaritan village because he had planned to go there, but the Samaritan village did not want him there, and so they come back. And at that point in time, James and John say, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven on them? That was not the beginning of the church growth movement. Not a very loving thing to say. They go along to another village, and they have this discussion between people who say they want to follow Jesus, but when Jesus kind of nods their head after they say, well, let me tell you what I've got to do first. And so Jesus says there toward the end of chapter 9, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Look immediately continues with this narrative when he says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others. Now, please understand that number kind of got me, and I began to try to find out what that 72 was really all about. And most commentators say that they believe that 72 was the number of nations at that point in time in the world. So maybe even here in Luke, Jesus is preparing them to go into this whole crucifixion that he's going to have to go through. Even there, maybe he is preparing them for the going to the all the world statement. 72 countries, 72 people going to all the world to preach the gospel. But that's a sermon for another time. Okay, back to me. Okay. I was 65 years old when Pastor Jack pointed out the significance of the fact that in both Matthew and Luke, the sending of the people occurs immediately after the encouragement of ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field. Isn't that amazing? I mean, really, he tells them to pray, and then he tells them to go. It's right there. I mean, in big, bold letters. It's right there. Today's ministry fair, you're going to have to say that, you already know that. Already this morning, you've had the opportunity to go around to the various tables and look at what's happening in our church. And believe it or not, things just don't happen here because there are church elves that do them. I mean, we don't have church elves. They left a long time ago. Come on, smile. You know, none of the setup in here happened today because the church elves that came along and somehow set up chairs. I'll tell you, if you set up most of the chairs, the things get on Wednesday night. Most of the tables that were set up in here, Bill Trotter set up. Okay? So you begin to look at what I'm getting at in all of this is that nothing happens at Gospel Nazarene but some mystical movement of church elves that come in and do something. Everything happens because somebody makes it happen. Because someone volunteers. Now, let me tell you, I chose Luke chapter 10 over Matthew 9 because in Luke chapter 10 it's talking about 72 rather than 12. And the reason I looked at that is we have 12 board members. Okay? We have three stewards, we have three trustees, we have three ex officio members, and that word ex officio means that they're on the church board by virtue of their office. NYI president, NDI president, or NMI president. So we have 12 there. And somehow or another, across the years, especially in the Church of Nazareth, we have come to this idea of let the Lord do it. So I didn't want to use the 12. Okay? It's more fitting, I think, for us this morning, because there are more than 72 in here. I think it's more fitting for us this morning to really look at the 72. Jesus had a whole lot of people that followed him. Some were fully dedicated, at least 11 of the 12 apostles. They were fully dedicated to him, but here Jesus sends out 72. He's sending them to towns where he's just about to go. And as I said a few weeks ago, when we were talking about the calling of Matthew, most of the people that followed Jesus were not of the upper class. If you go to Acts chapter 4, verse 13, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago as well. When you go to Acts chapter 4, verse 13, the teachers of the law are amazed when Peter gets up to preach. And it says that they took note when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished. And they took note that they had been with Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Just common, ordinary people doing extraordinary things. Because they have been with Jesus. They have been with Jesus. Well, the reason that I'm dwelling on this so long this morning is the fact that Jesus recruited people to work for him based on potential, not credential. Back to that other man. One commentator said that the reason that you see Jesus doing this immediately, it's because of those that you find in Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62, who came and said, "We want to follow you, Jesus, but I've got something else that I've got to do first." But when you get to the 72, Jesus immediately gives them their orders, so to speak, and sends them out. And they go. I mean, the reality of it is, I found this out a long time ago, that the church, not just the church of Nazareth, but the church in general, has moved along through the years because of laity who were willing to pick up the mantle of service and run with it. The little church that my dad grew up in, it's a little country church, and when I say country, it used to be a long way from town. It seemed like it's closed out congregation of this church. It's out on that road, and if you turn just before you get to Cloverdale, you're going to go down Bonny Road. That's the only kind of thing that I have. But there it is. Well, when I was a kid, it didn't even have any little plumbing. One of my granddads saved the lumber that church was built with, and my other granddad was the one who saw the lumber so that it could be built. I have a heritage in that church. And that's where my dad and mom go. What did I say? The pastor who was there, I don't think he had a whole lot of education. But he preached the word, and there were lazy there who were willing to do what needed to be done so that the young man by the name of Boyd Romaine could drive all the way to Tawakin, Texas, and go to Bible college. You see, the reality of it is the lazy have taken up the mantle of service. They've run with the people. There are other churches, and you're going to find out as you begin to look around our world today, some of the fastest growing churches are lay-driven. I think you understand that there's got to be leadership. But Paul spoke about this in Ephesians chapter 4. He says that those in leadership are there to prepare God's people for works of service. This is what Paul says, verse 7. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors,
pastors and teachers to equip the people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure and fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by becoming the craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead of speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every aspect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You're here. You're part of this body. Your function in this body may not be in a prominent role, but in fact, some of us don't even want to be in the spotlight. But your function here, your work here, it's important because God knows your potential. He sees your potential, not a credential. God knows your potential. Jesus talked about it when he gave the parable of the talents. He expects us to live up to the potential that we have. You do not have to be credentialed to work in the church.
Amen.
You simply have to be willing.
Amen.
I looked up the word volunteer. And the definition for volunteer is a person who freely offers to take part in the enterprise or undertake a task. And on down there, when you go down with it, it talks about a soldier as a volunteer who freely joins, who does not know where he's going to be called to serve. And let me just go ahead and tell you, to be a part of what's happening in the church requires a willingness to step into the unknown. When these were being sent out, Jesus didn't tell them where they were going, other than the fact that he was eventually going there. And he gives them all these things. It is amazing to me of our verse 3 when I look at it. I mean, he says, the harvest is plentiful, workers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. In verse 3, go. I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. It sounds like he's sending them to teach his junior boys Sunday school. It sounds like he's sending the apostles to the slaughter. None of them knew what they were going to face. He tells them not to take anything with them other than, he said, if you don't know what to offer them your peace, and if they receive it, that's great. He tells them to heal the sick, preach the good news, enjoy the blessing of those who do receive the message. He also tells them that not everybody's going to receive the message. They were simply required to be faithful with what they had been given. We do step into the unknown when we volunteer for something a lot of times. And sometimes that stepping into the unknown can be heartbreaking. Sometimes that stepping into the unknown can be overwhelmingly rewarding. But when it's heartbreaking, we continue. We're not serving people, we're serving Jesus. And obedience to God is ultimately what all this is about. It's stepping into new roles. It's letting go of the security of the familiar. It's trusting God with the result. All of those who have followed God that you read about, and I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 11 here for just a moment, but all of those who followed God basically had no idea where they were going.
Amen.
By faith, Noah, verse 7, Hebrews 11. By faith, Noah, when warned about things yet not seen in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to a place he was later received as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Verse 9.
Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Verse 32, what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became pilots in battle and rallied foreign armies. Those are the men and women of the Bible. Yep, they were. Let me tell you a little bit about it. Noah got drunk. Abraham lied about Sarah. Moses was a murderer. David was a murderer and an adulterer. Gideon was scared to death. And Samson was a womanizer. Do you get the picture? I mean, they were ordinary people. They were weak men, heroes. They had no idea where they were going. But they had a willingness to step into the unknown because of the God that they were serving. Amen. We can do it for you. They had a willingness to step into the unknown because of the God that they were serving. If you're a volunteer, you'll step into the unknown. But it's not dependent upon you. It is dependent upon the God who is calling you.
Amen.
Praise His name. Finally, volunteering really is the urgent need of the church. It's the urgent need of this church. It's the urgent need of the church worldwide. And here's the thing that you need to get. Here's the thing that you need to get. We do not have a harvest problem. We have a workers problem. Jesus told the disciples in John chapter 4, verse 35, He says, don't you have a saying, seal 4 months of the harvest. That's how you open your eyes and look at the field and ripe the harvest. Can I tell you what happened here? I told you just a moment ago, but let me bring it back and remind you, okay? Jesus is in talking with this Samaritan woman. They had all this discussion back and forth. And finally, she just breaks away and she goes into town. And when she gets to the town, she says, come and see a man who told me everything that I've ever done. The disciples probably passed her on the way as they're bringing food out to Jesus. And when they get out there with the food for Jesus, they offer it to him. He says, I have food to eat that you don't know anything about. What has happened? Somebody has just come into the kingdom. Jesus points, at least in my mind's eye, to the whole town of Samaritans that are headed toward him and the disciples. And he says, look at it. There's parts. It's headed our way. It's coming. Now that doesn't mean that we sit in here and say, oh, God's coming to us. The next person I hear say that, I'm going to excommunicate in the church. We don't have a harvest problem. Go to Walmart, go to Lowe's, shop, open your eyes. And you're at the doctor's office. Open your eyes. When you're at school, open your eyes. When you're in the restaurant, like I was a few weeks ago, I told you this on Wednesday night. When you're in the restaurant and you look around you at all those people who are there, open your eyes. There's the hearts. There's the harvest. When you walk into church and you see children or you see teens, open your eyes.
When you're asked to serve in the nursery, you're asked to serve on a prayer team, or you're asked to serve in children's church, if you're asked to do something, open your eyes. Look at the harvest. Look at the harvest. That's what Jesus told the disciples. Don't say, don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months of the harvest. I think you open your eyes and look at the field. They're ripe for harvest. They wanted to plant and maybe someday reap the harvest. No. It's not how it works with people. The harvest is there. How many times have people said, Pastor, one day I'll get involved. Folks, what we are doing won't wait. It can't wait. This is urgent. Eternity is at stake.
Amen.
That's the reality of all of this. It won't wait. We can't wait. It's urgent. Eternity is at stake. I want to tell you something this morning. Your willingness to volunteer is not based on what you bring to God.
Amen.
It is based on what you will allow God to do with what you have.
Amen.
Your willingness is not based on credential. It's based on what God sees in you. And Jesus saw in very unlikely people who were willing to yield to him. He saw something in them and he empowered them. He gave them authority. And they went out and turned the world upside down. It's one of my favorite phrases in the book of Acts. These who have turned the world upside down have come, as the King James Version says, have come hither also. They show up here in Crossville. What are we going to do? You see, volunteering is scary. I mean, I know that. I came here. God didn't think that was really funny that he came out earlier. And sometimes we walk into the unknown. But I want you to get this. God is in the unknown to qualify you to be what he needs you to be. He's there. You may not have a clue what he's going to do, but he's there in your unknown to do something through you that you can't even begin to imagine if you'll simply be available to him. Someone once said to D.L. Moody, it's amazing what could be done through a man or a woman who was totally, unreservedly committed to God. And D.L. Moody turned our world upside down. The last thing I want you to say this morning is there is not a harvest problem. There's a worker problem. We need to open our eyes. I sat there in a restaurant. I was up against the back wall or up against the side wall. I sat there in that restaurant. We were waiting and we didn't bring our food and it had been up forever just to get ordered. And I was a little frustrated because I had things I had to do. And I turned around and I put my back against that wall, and the entire restaurant was in my view. And I don't think God spoke to me audibly or anything like that, but I do think he impressed me when he said, or when I felt like all of a sudden I saw
All these people, how many of them know Jesus? You're going to live here, some of you are, and you're going to go to a restaurant. Some of you have to wait. And as you wait today, I hope that as you look around that restaurant with all those people in there, that somehow God will work it on you and say, how many of these people know Jesus? You see, there's not a harvest problem. It's a worker problem. And the question that I have for us is, how can we not want to be a part of what God is doing? Think about that. How can we not want to be a part of what God is doing? How can we sit back and know that there are people who are lost without Jesus and do nothing? After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him into every town and place where he was going. And he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers to his harvest field someday. Is that what it said? Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field, period. And then it says, go! Exclamation point. He sent in. He is sending us. He is sending us. These things around this wall are not going to happen just because of the three posters. And I appreciate so much all the work that's gone into those posters. Y'all have done a tremendous job. But just because we have three posters doesn't mean something's going to happen. The only way it's going to happen is if we go. If we do. If we follow. If we sweat, if we are scared to death, and say, God, if anything happens today that's good, it's going to be because you do it. God, if so far out of my league today, it'll have to be you. And you know who gets the glory then? Not you and me. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have called. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you told those disciples to open their eyes in the same way that you told those disciples to open their eyes. So you are telling us here today to open our eyes that it's not a harvest problem. Well, maybe there is a harvest problem. The harvest is ruined, so to speak, while we sit and talk about it. Lord, I pray that you would help us that we would not sit idly by and look at the harvest, but that we would do something. That we would do something that ultimately can determine the destiny of someone's soul. That's how serious this is. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us today. That we might open our eyes, that we might see. That we might see with the eyes of Jesus. And we want people to come to know Jesus. We're not just talking about our church, we're talking about coming to know Jesus. May you do something in us that we can never get away from. And may because you do something in us, people will come to know Jesus as their Savior. The kids will learn, the teens will learn, and some of them will be called into ministry, and some will go maybe places that we can't even begin to imagine because of the influence of someone who is here. I ask you, Lord, that you help us not to be able just to go home this afternoon and kind of brush off what has been said or what we have seen on the tables. I ask you, God, that you would help us, that indeed it might burn within us the fact that we have to do something because of the harvest. I thank you, Lord, for those who sign the sheets not knowing what they were getting into. May you bless them and help them and encourage them. I pray for you, our Lord, for this day. Bless us tonight, Lord, as we come back to this place. Mission tonight. Very fitting. You have called us to the mission of the gospel, the mission of the church. So we praise you and we thank you for that. We give you glory, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for being part of the service today. And if you haven't signed up there, these people will still let you sign up at the end so that you keep on to go, okay? And you do need to move chairs and tables. We need at least 10 tables set up over here. It's about 60 chairs. So if you can help, stay with us. Thank you, Greg. We appreciate it. If not, God bless you. I hope you have a